Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I hope you had a wonderful day. This is Dr. Lorraine Goodwin, and this is May 22nd, 2016. It's about 11:30 p.m., and I'm going to do a small review. I saw the very tail end of the Billboard Awards. I thought I had missed them, so I really didn't expect to see any of them, any of that show, but it was on when I turned on the television. And I saw some of the last acts, and I was quite impressed. I thought everybody looked nice. The singing list was impressive. I saw Rihanna sing, and I thought she did a great job. She was singing a song about her love for a man who beat her and turned her black and blue and how she couldn't do without him. And she was brain dead or something, I can't remember exact words, but she was so much in love, which I thought was really something for her to do because that was what she was known for when she was with Chris Brown. So very dramatic in that she had that real life experience and then she put it to a song. But you certainly hope it wasn't true. You certainly hope she wasn't still longing for Chris Brown after all this time. But we won't know whether that was just a song or whether she really has some feeling for Chris Brown still somewhere in her heart. But it was quite dramatic. She was dressed beautifully. She looked fabulous. Her voice was great. And very great presentation of her song. Then she was followed by Celine Dion. Wow, back to back. Rihanna, Celine Dion. Well, you know, Celine's still recovering from the loss of her husband. I can't remember his first name. Something Angelique. And she, you know, she, of course, was very expressive to all of her fans that she really loved this man. And then he died from throat cancer, a very grueling death because I think he had many, in his final stages, he couldn't eat. His cancer was so, his throat was so messed up. So he suffered and lingered, and when he did die, it was probably for the best because he was suffering so much. So she, because of course she has aged so much. I mean, she's a young girl still. She's a young woman still, and but she still looks. But she, to me, she looks so old. And so she was singing "The Show Must Go On," and it was a very dramatic number. I thought it was very good. I don't know whether the crowd really was in that mindset. I mean, these are all young people. Probably most of the people who go to this type of concert are in their 20s and 30s, and they're certainly not thinking about death or the end of life or what it's like to lose somebody. So great for an older audience, but I don't think it was really that appropriate for a younger audience. And I don't think her husband really touched the fans the way she felt him. She was very close to him. She felt very emotional about their relationship. But I think most of the fans just saw him as a family figure, didn't have really much of a close connection. Sorry that she lost him, but I think his death probably wasn't as emotional for the fans. And so then afterwards she won an award, and it was delivered by her son, where she broke down crying and everything, which was a little phony because, I mean, she probably saw her son just before she came out on stage. I'm sure she knew he was at the awards. He was all dressed up. He's still young, so I'm sure he had to ask his mom what to wear, and, you know, she had to know where he was. And so she had probably just seen him before she came on stage to sing, and then he came out and delivered the awards, and then she broke down like she hadn't seen him in 30 years. And then her speech, she went on to name every single person who could have impacted her life. It was way too long of a speech about people that nobody knew and nobody, you know, everybody had a producer, a manager, and so forth. And so really a lot of, you know, she could have grouped these people together in more of a lump and didn't need to prolong the list just for time's sake. Maybe they told her to spread it out because they were running they had extra time to kill, so maybe that's what they were doing, and we just didn't see that. But she spread it out, and, you know, she's going through a grieving process, but grieving, I think, is probably better kept private after the initial announcement and so forth. going through the funeral ceremonies. And most of that should be kept private. I don't think the audience really shares emotionally the loss with her. And it would be inappropriate for us to do that because we don't know this man except we've seen him a couple, you know, we've seen him pictures and so forth. I think the main thing Celine's going to realize is after she's back singing at the hotel in Las Vegas, and she's going to realize how much money he was spending because he was gambling away a huge amount of money while she was entertaining in the hotel, and now all of that money will be coming into her pockets, and she's going to realize her real wealth and the fact that money is not going to the gambling tables to pay his debts. Of course, he might still be paying off debts, who knows. But anyway, she was great. Her song was really great, although I thought it did think it was inappropriate for the age of the audience. And, you know, she has to get over it. We all have deaths and so forth, but you have to learn when it needs to be expressed and when it can be kept more to yourself. You know, if she breaks down crying on the stage, she can say, you know, well, I was thinking about, you know, my husband and so forth. But you don't have to prolong it as if we're all grieving with her at this late date after he's died. Let me see. So that was Celine Dion. She looked beautiful too. She was dressed nicely, and her hair was really good. Was really really done nicely. Now that could be the girl that Beyonce was singing, the girl with the good hair. But Celine's hair looked fabulous. Then came on. I saw Ariana Grande at the Billboard Awards tonight, and she always looks so young to me. She looks like a kid, and she's always singing this love stuff, and I can't even remember what she sang, but I wasn't really impressed with the song or her performance. I thought it was pretty weak, but she is a cute girl, and not much to say about that. She performed, but she was a big name, so I was quite impressed. I mean, so far I just seen a very small part of the show, and I saw Ariana Grande, Celine Dion, and then last number, oh, and then also I wanted to mention after Celine Dion sang, the hostess came out and gushed over how great Celine Dion was and blah, 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 and how she hugged her. I mean, we don't care if she hugged her or not, but she hugged her and she was so impressed. But she didn't say anything about Rihanna, and I thought that was really a slap in the face because they had Rihanna sang, and then Celine Dion came right afterwards, and Rihanna did a fabulous job. Now, maybe it was because Rihanna did that song about being in love with a man who's beating her up, and maybe that's why she didn't include that in her, how great the song was, but I thought she did a great job with the song and certainly deserved some kudos from the hostess on her presentation. So the last one that I saw for the night was Madonna, who did a tribute to Prince singing Purple Rain, and she was in some sort of purple, light purple suit, and she had a cane. She was sitting on a throne. What I really want to say is she sounded really bad. I mean, she was hitting bad notes. She sounded stressed. I don't think it sounded like a tribute at all. It sounded too forced. It was so forced I didn't find it enjoyable. And then to be singing in front of such great singers, I mean, this was when they did shots of the audience. You saw a lot of people recognizable. And then there she is singing with these bad notes and a very half-hearted rendition of Purple Rain. Really was bad. The other thing that kind of strikes me about all this that's kind of sad with all of these tributes to Prince, as we know, Prince was quite young when he came into the music scene and he signed a recording contract to, I think it was Warner Brothers, and he did his great songs. He did Purple Rain, A Little Red Corvette, Kiss and When Doves Cry. But he didn't know what he was signing when he did those records. Those are all his big spectacular records that we remember him for, and we remember the videos that played over and over. But what he did is he signed away his masters. He signed his right to have some say as to who sings his songs and the presentations and so forth. So the person that made all of the money off these songs was Warner Brothers, and Prince didn't make nearly the money he thought he was going to make, and he didn't make the money that people thought he made because those songs were so hugely popular, and all that money was going to Warner Brothers. So all of these tributes that we're having to Prince, and we're talking about Little Red Corvette, we're just talking about Purple Rain and so forth. All that money, every time they sing that song, is going to Warner Brothers. It's not going to the Prince's family or into his estate or anything. It's all going to Warner Brothers, the people he hated because they ripped him off. After he figured out what was in his contract, after he had already gave them, signed away his rights to the masters, then he started wearing the term slave on his face in order to say that he was working basically for nothing. Well, of course, he wasn't working for nothing, and I do get upset when people use the term slavery and they are making money, because slavery in the black community was people who worked for nothing, who were property, they weren't considered people, and who could be killed and beaten up as the master deemed, without any consequences to the master, and who worked from before sunup to after sundown and had miserable food, miserable accommodations, and miserable lives usually. So, and with the breaking up of the families and not giving them education and beatings and killings and so forth and tortures. It was terrorism. It was slavery and terrorism that was okayed by the government. And that's slavery. So Prince wasn't a slave, but he did write slave on his face. And then after he got out of that contract years later, he had changed his name from Prince to a symbol because of that contract, and then he later came out as emancipated after he got out of that Warner Brothers contract. So it's kind of ironic that the thing that everybody's remembering Prince for and they keep singing and paying royalty rights to is Warner Brothers, not Prince. So maybe using some of his other songs, even though those songs are the most remember, maybe we should sing some of his other songs that do that he did after he became more aware of recording contracts and he kept his own master tape. So that was pretty much the lineup. And then at the end, Madonna grabbed Stevie Wonder and she sang with him, and she was still hitting some bad notes, and I don't know. It was just kind of a bad end to a great lineup of people at the very end of that show. I didn't see the whole show. I don't know who else was on there. I saw one other thing, a couple of other people. I did see Adele get an award, and I can't remember the first song that was on when I first turned it on. But anyway, it was a good show. I thought it was enjoyable, and glad I caught the end of it. You know, about Prince, I just wanted to say one more thing about Prince. You know, this whole Prince thing, it really has me confused, disturbed, upset, everything. Can't figure out, you know, I've never seen a death with so many excuses as to why he died. I mean, everybody was involved, and everybody's trying to get out of their involvement. This doctor who treats drug addicts in California, the story was that he was contacted by Prince or one of Prince's people, and they said they couldn't get to him, although he needed urgent help. And then the guy who's the doctor arranged to have his son get on a plane the next morning to meet Prince, and the son was carrying a bag of drugs. Of course, the son wanted to be a doctor but was not a doctor. I don't know whether he was a high school kid or undergraduate in college or what this kid's status is, that he wants to be a doctor but is not a doctor. But yet he sent him to from California to, from Minnesota with these drugs. And then they said, well, he wasn't going to give him the drugs. He was going to have a doctor in Prince's hometown giving the drugs. Well, the drugs would be immediately available in Prince's hometown. Why would he have to send the drugs on the airplane with a kid to give to Prince? I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. And crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The one thing I was thinking is maybe this addiction doctor had a relationship with Prince, and he didn't want to let Prince go as a patient. He wanted to keep him in his circle, so he was trying to keep him away from the emergency room or other doctors who might be in Prince's local area. Now, what a real doctor would do, or a good doctor would do, would have called, told Prince, well, I can't get out there. You sound like you need help now, so why don't you call such and such an hospital or emergency room or such and such a doctor. I mean, Prince should have some sort of contact in his own state. Call such and such a place and they can see you tonight. And then somebody, you know, so you could even fly someone in from the local area, you know, in to see Prince that same night within half an hour and take care of whatever he needs. Or if he feels that he needs, and if the doctor through assessing on the phone, because you can do a lot of things by video phone. You can check the heart, you can check the lungs, you can check the breathing, you can do a physical assessment, all kinds of things. You can't do blood work yet by the phone, but there are lots of things he could have done, and if he looked really bad, he could have said, well, you look like you need to be seen, you know, within a few minutes, you need to go to the emergency room because I think you're going to need to be an inpatient. You're going to need an IV. You're going to need to be monitored and watched by a doctor and a nurse, and you're going to probably need to be watched for a number of hours. Now, none of this was done, and yet Prince had the money to have the best of medical care. So I don't understand this whole story. Then the story changed that the kid came with a bag of medicine, talked to somebody, not Prince. I mean, you would think if you're coming with a bag of medicine to see Prince, you would call Prince at the airport, you know, hey, I'm on my way, how are you doing? Or call the house and say, you know, how is he doing? I'm on my way. You know, I'll be at the door in 30. You would have some contact before you got to the house. Story was he's at the house and he's talking to someone in the house, and then they find him in the elevator. No one's checked on him. And then the next story came out that the kid was at the house and there was another doctor there, and it's really confusing. I think it's a bunch of lies. Something else is going on in this whole story, and it hasn't come out, and maybe it never will come out. And this is when people start talking about the Illuminati and people trying to kill people and so forth, because this is so crazy. In medical care, this is like the lowest medical care. This is medical care that maybe somebody with poor health insurance or poor medical care or a bad doctor would get. This is not the kind of medical care you would expect a really rich, healthy, or a rich multimillionaire would get, who's well known to the doctors, who've been taking medications from the doctors, who have a huge number of people in the house. I'm sure Prince had a telephone on that elevator. He probably, because I'm sure everybody who has an elevator thinks, oh, gosh, what if I get stuck in this thing someday? I need to call out. Usually people will have some sort of phone in the elevator so that if it gets stuck or they get sick or something happens, they can call out. Nothing in that story matches. And it really makes me upset because there are so many rules and regulations for physicians, yet we keep seeing over and over and over again with Michael Jackson getting stuck with this really bad doctor who gives him propofol and then he's knocked out, and then he decides to walk to the bathroom, totally ignore the patient. And, you know, he's in there talking to his girlfriend and playing with himself or whatever is going on. So much bad medicine to these people. Something is wrong. Something has to be done. And why is this stuff happening? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And yet these people are getting off over and over and over again. And the whole system is, to me, strange, and it's also kind of weird which patients are getting this really bad medical care. We see certain patients are getting super care. You know, some of the people who've had liver cancer or who have been long-term drug addicts and alcoholics who have had liver transplants, and that means they're chosen to have a liver transplant over someone who's healthy and young and has a lot of life ahead of them. But some of these people, Larry Hagman, I think, was one of them. He was chosen to have a liver transplant over a young kid, over many young kids who needed liver transplants. So the whole thing about medical care needs to be evaluated. The Prince story is crazy. It doesn't make sense. And as Johnny Cochran said, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. He said acquit, but we must investigate because something is really, really wrong, and it should scare everybody who's a patient that this type of medical, these type of medical situations are occurring. It's totally, totally wrong, and there's not much a patient can do at the last minute. If Prince knew how bad his medical care was, he certainly would have found better doctors to take care of him. But I would like to see those medical records myself. I would like to see them and find out what it really went on. I know they've been changing the medical records, and I know that probably all of these doctors involved should probably have their licenses revoked. But that won't happen. But we'll see. We'll see what the medical boards do. You know, they always come down on some people, but for these other doctors who are just doing crazy stuff, a lot of times they don't even revoke their medical licenses for their really bad behavior. And then, of course, they always try to blame it on the patient, you know, saying, well, he was self-prescribing, he was taking medications from multiple doctors, and so on. Sometimes that's true. You know, we as outsiders don't know the whole picture. But I think if you have a person who you think is self-prescribing or is taking too many medications, that's a clear sign you need to send them to the emergency room as soon as they call you. You don't say, I'll see you tomorrow morning, or I'm sending my son out with a bag of medicines for who knows what reason. I'd like to know what was in that bag. We'll probably never really know the truth. But if you have a patient that's unreliable or is taking too many drugs or is combining things, you send them right to the emergency room because they need to have a full blood drug evaluation, and you don't wait for a long period of time. And I can't understand why Prince was there by himself anyway, because he's not the type of person who'd like to be by himself. He liked to have people around. He certainly had paid staff. Who called the addiction clinic in the first place? I don't know who that was. And lots of questions. And it all is very, very worrisome about what's happening to quality medical care. Everything's going for money. You know, clearly these doctors were looking at Prince's bank account and not looking at him as a person. So I wanted to say that because that whole Prince story has been bugging me for quite a while. I mentioned one other story that's interesting, and I've mentioned before, I thought Whoopi Goldberg was going to get the axe, and I hear more and more stories now she is going to get the axe because Whoopi Goldberg has decided to get into the marijuana business. She is going to sell marijuana products to women, particularly young women and I guess older women. And, of course, she's heading The View. She is the lead talker on The View, and her audience is housewives, women, mostly with her daytime TV talk show. So that really is not good that she is going to be trying to sell marijuana to the same audience that watches The View. Now, she will make a lot of money, and she has said, she wants to get it on the bottom rung and make money if California legalizes the sale of marijuana. Now, she is doing it first, I think, as cosmetics. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's some cosmetics. I'm not sure how much of it is pills, but I'm sure she's going to go into the smoking because that's really Whoopi's thing. Whenever they talk about marijuana on The View, I mean, Whoopi's eyes light up and she gets very, very verbose. She has a lot to say. She's very passionate. She's very much an advocate and has been all of her life for marijuana. And so this is a field that really, she should have been in. She should have been selling drugs, I guess, all her life, and maybe she did. I don't know if she sells drugs outside to people, but this is something that she has always been very, very passionate about, the use of the good uses for marijuana or how marijuana helped her life as she feels it did. And she's a comedian. Most comedians, I think, take alcohol or drugs or some way, because that is a very stressful career, and it always have to be a little bit silly or loopy-minded, and so that does help them. So, but for the average person, I don't know if many people want to have their doctors taking marijuana. I mean, you look at Prince with the bad care he got. Imagine if he called his addiction doctor, and his addiction doctor was sitting there smoking marijuana and then gave him advice. I mean, if the advice was bad enough with the doctor not being on marijuana, at least we don't think he was on marijuana, but we have no evidence, and it would have been even worse if the doctor had marijuana. So anyway, so Whoopi Goldberg is almost sure on the way out, and I don't know if you saw Kelly Ripa's show this week. I will talk about that later, but she had a very scary week, first with Jimmy Kimmel, who asked some embarrassing questions, and then her second day, she was with the guy from the show Empire, and he did mostly self-promotion and just really crashed some of her skits. It was a very bad week for Kelly, but looks like she's getting off to now she's getting a little bit better. She has better co-hosts. And we'll see how she does. I wish her the best of luck, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.